It is September 26th. You're listening to The Christian Commute. I'm your host, Seth Dunn, and I just had to suffer the indignity of pumping my own gas. And what I mean by that is a little automatic handle thing, a little lever on the gas pump that's supposed to just pump it for you, was broken. So I had to stand there and touch with my hand for tens and tens of seconds the dirty little gas pump handle. I longed for the days of old. When I was a kid, there was a gas station on Highway 58. LA's was the name of it. It was a Chevron station, and you could pull up, and there was a guy named Eric who worked there. He was a mechanic, and you could choose self-serve, or Eric would pump your gas, and it was like a nickel extra or something like that. And Eric would pump your gas and wash your windshield and check your oil. I miss those days. Now I have to stand on the side of the dirty highway on the truck stop with the porn store and the cheap motels and pump my own gas. Woe is me. First world problem of all the things to be complaining about. This is a show, a full show, that you probably won't get until tomorrow morning, but we'll see. It's 7 o'clock, and I'm just now leaving Calhoun, in part because it's budget time, and I've got more work than I have time to do, and my Hebrew teacher thought, hey, I got an idea. Let me give Seth and the rest of my students a homework assignment with 50 questions. So for the past half hour or so, I've been doing that. So maybe one day I'll actually get home and get to eat dinner. I hope my kids are still awake when I get there. But more than that, I hope my wife's not mad. The longer I leave her at home alone without help to take care of the kids, the madder she gets. So I'm going to face the music when I get home. But for now, let's have a good Christian commute. I have a question in the inbox. Oh, there went disaster. My show notes fell. Some sticky notes are better than others. It's just random. It's random what sticky note is going to be good. And these sticky notes are all from the same stack of Post-it notes. Sometimes they stick, sometimes they don't. But anyway, I have a question in the inbox. And I have one, but today's Tuesday, I think. It feels like Wednesday because it's been long days for me. But I've got one planned for Wednesday, and I had another pretty good question come in at Thursday. Some questions are better than others. I answer every question that comes in the inbox because that's what I do. But Elsie wrote in a question I think is going to be really good on Thursday. I'm looking forward to answering it. But I've got one today. I've got a submission today. And today's show topic, and I hope I don't go too long, because I really want to talk about this. High Attendance Sunday is today's show topic. But as always, let's start with the Bible chapter review. Galatians chapter 4, verses 13 through 14. Galatians chapter 4, verses 13 through 14. Paul has just told the Galatians he wishes they would become like him as he has become like them. And he reminds them of their past history with him, in a time when they were very kind to him. He says, when I first brought you the gospel, I was sick. But you didn't hold it against me that I was sick and I was in poor condition. You didn't mistreat me. Quite the opposite, you took great care of me. You didn't despise my bodily condition, despite the temptation to do so. So Paul comes as an apostle, but he's in bad shape. By the way, those of you who have dealings with Quimbyists, word of faith, name it and claim it type, health and wealth people, often, you know, the health and wealth people get mixed up with those who believe there are still apostles for today. The Apostle Paul himself, whose handkerchief could heal people, if you look in the book of Acts, showed up to the Galatians to share the gospel with them, and he was sick. No mind over matter here. What? Why was the Apostle Paul not figuring out that he could name and claim health and wealth? No, he was sick. Just want to point that out. Paul didn't have the health and wealth gospel in view because Quimby had not invented it yet, but Gnosticism, at least proto-Gnosticism, could have been around. Just want to point out Paul was sick. So Paul shows up at the Galatian church to share the gospel with him, and he's in poor shape. He's sick. He's in poor bodily condition. And the Galatians could have been tempted to say, well, we don't want to listen to this guy or deal with this guy, but instead they took care of him and treated him well. Paul says they accepted him as a messenger of God, or an angel of God, the New American Standard says, even as Jesus Christ himself. So what Paul's saying, you guys treated me as good as you would have treated Jesus, and I was sick when I showed up and in bad condition. Why is Paul going about this trip down memory lane with the Galatians? Well, because he's about to challenge them, because they're under the influence of some bad people. And we're going to see in the next Bible chapter review, Lord willing, that people might be taking issue with what Paul is saying. He's going to say, having told you the truth, have I now become your enemy? So he's making them think about a time when they were friends and they treated him well, even when it was what? Hard to treat him well. He was a burden on them as being a sick person who needed care, and they treated him well. So he's saying, remember when you treated me well, even though it was hard? Guys, I'm going to need you to treat me well, even though it's hard again. All right? And we'll talk about that more on the next episode of The Christian Commute as we get into Galatians chapter 15 and 16. But for now, let's go to the inbox. Today's question comes from Greg. Greg has become a prolific submitter since sending his first question, and I think he's up to four. Maybe one day he'll catch the Michaels and the Elsies of the world. And Greg has this question. He says, Seth, have you ever looked up to a nationally prominent preacher or pastor, and you thought very well of them? You're keeping up with their ministry, perhaps even recommending this person. I'm putting a few words in his mouth. Perhaps even recommending this person, and then all of a sudden he does something inexplicably foolish or bad, and you think, what is this guy doing? He gives the example of James McDonald and David Jeremiah, and he says, you know, I used to look up to these guys and read their books, and then all of a sudden I start seeing them on TBN. Has this ever happened with you? Yes, Greg, it has. I used to look up to Johnny M. Hunt. Johnny Hunt, pastor of First Baptist Woodstock. I used to listen to his sermons every Tuesday on the way to work into Atlanta. They were great. I respected him as a former president of the Southern Baptist Convention, from the conservative resurgence onward. I went to his church for 2 years. And then one day, it came to my attention that he commended Aragon the Charlatan Kenner to be the president of Bruton Parker College, and I just didn't understand why. And then he opened up the pulpit of my church where I was a member, and he was the pastor, First Baptist Church of Woodstock, to the charlatan Aragon Kenner. And I just couldn't understand why. There was no good theological reason to do so. There were a lot of good reasons not to do so. My mom is calling me. Goodbye, Mom. Don't call me during my podcast. There are a lot of good reasons to reject everything to do with Aragon Kenner, but instead, Johnny basically helped this guy get a six-figure job in Georgia living off Georgia Baptist dollars at the Georgia Baptist College. And then, in kind of a restoration or coming back party for Aragon Kenner, whom he knew from Liberty University, where Hunt used to be a trustee and Kenner used to be an employee, he gives his pulpit to this guy, this wretched, wicked man, Aragon Kenner. And Wartburg Watch, Dee doesn't listen, I'm talking to her if she does, is supposed to be writing some kind of insider story about Aragon Kenner from the perspective of his ex-wife, I don't know if they're divorced yet, and how his wife was begging him to stop being a charlatan, and he was still pretending he wasn't a charlatan, and how his brother Emer was saying, please stop being a charlatan. That's what I hear, but D has not published that yet. I can't wait to read it. Should remove any and all doubt of anybody, if there is any left, about the charlatan Ergen Kanter, who left Bruton Parker under a haze of controversy, from racism to possible adultery. Horrible. Yeah, and I just, like, there's no good reason for Johnny Hunt to do that. He knew better, and he did it anyway. And it sounds to me like he was just trying to be a good old boy. And that was the end of my respect for Johnny Hunt. So yes, Greg, that's happened. You mentioned David Jeremiah. I used to listen to David Jeremiah on the radio. David Jeremiah is the pastor of Shadow Mountain Community Church, which is a mega church in California, which recently became a Southern Baptist church. And I think a lot of mega pastors like to do that so they can get in with the other Southern Baptist mega pastor crowds and get on the Lifeway speaking circuit if they're official Southern Baptists. And so you see, here's a sound preacher, because I listen to his sermons on the radio, and they seem pretty good. And then what do I find out about David Jeremiah? He's the type of person who would write a book and then use his own nonprofit ministry organization to buy up copies of his own book to move it to the top of the bestseller list. And then he partners with Roma Downey and Mark Burnett. They're the people who brought the History Channel Bible series to you. Roma Downey is a mystical New Age Roman Catholic. Not making that up. Google it. And this guy partners with her. Wickedness. He partners with this wicked, ungodly person who's not saved because they're a New Age Catholic to write the AD Bible study. And AD was another television show. And apparently, according to Greg, now David Jeremiah is on TBN. David Jeremiah, when he takes actions like that, seems to be about David Jeremiah making money and not David Jeremiah preaching the gospel. So, yeah, that's another guy, Greg. I can get with you there. I don't know why these people who are seemingly sound show up on TBN other than they want money, 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 money. And they think, I can go through this wicked outlet and I'm not going to get the wickedness on me and I'm going to get a biblical message out. They ought to do like Walter Martin, the one time he went on TBN. He went on TBN once to get interviewed on one of these TBN shows, and he was just basically like, the people on this network are heretics. And if Paul Crouch cared, he would make them stop being heretics on his network. But Paul Crouch is a heretic too, so is Jan Crouch. It's like the One Ring. Remember in Lord of the Rings when Frodo tries to give Gandalf the One Ring and Gandalf won't take it? And he says, you know, Frodo, if I took this ring, I'd try to do good through it, but through me the ring would do evil. TBN is evil and wicked. And when you start associating with TBN, you're going to be friends with all the evil and wicked people. So when you start seeing a preacher start showing up on TBN and participating with that evilness, I made that word up, that's a problem. So yeah, Greg, I've been disappointed. And I don't really like to pick guys anymore. Like, oh, he's a good preacher, I'm going to recommend him. If you listen to the show, I'm very hesitant to ever recommend a preacher, because it seems like almost 100% of the big famous preachers are into some kind of shenanigan or chicanery. The local church is so important. It's so important to have a preacher at your local church who's a sound Bible expositor. And you can, from the ministry of your own local church, be taught the Bible. From your Sunday school teacher to your pastor. There are good teachers and preachers out there with a national ministry, but I just don't like to put any of my eggs in their basket, because they will drop it almost all the time. So Greg, thanks for writing in, and I'm sure listeners out there can relate. There's probably somebody out there, listeners, maybe even when you were first saved, who you were really into 10 years ago and you thought they were great, and now you look 10 years back and you thought, wow, I was into them, but man, there's some major problems with this person. And sometimes you should have seen him coming. Like, y'all people out there who are big fans of Mark Driscoll, you should have seen him coming. Hey, John Piper, those of you who are big John Piper fans, if John Piper's so great, why does he come to Louis Giglio's Passion Conference with Jesus Culture, Heretics, and Beth Moore and Christine Kane? Word of Faith, or Pentecostal Word of Faith people. Why? If he's so great. I tell you, I don't have the platform. If I had that platform that John Piper had, I would polemicize Beth Moore, Christine Kane, Jesus Culture, and Louis Giglio into the dust. And maybe I wouldn't get asked back anymore, but I'd rather not get asked back for standing up for Jesus than just be all play pitter-patty footsie with these people. Kind of like when Matt Chandler went to Code Orange and basically refuted the other speakers. And I don't think Stephen Furtick and Christine Kane have asked him back. And by the way, Matt Chandler's another guy who'll disappoint you. Who was his wife hanging out with the other day or speaking with? Was it the IF conference or something? Listen, they get big. The bigger they get big, and then they go down the downgrade slope. It's just like Solomon. It's hard to finish strong. Greg, thanks for that. It's important for us to think about. Now let's talk about High Attendance Sunday. Did you guys know it is High Attendance Sunday at my church on Sunday? And maybe you other guys out here, especially Georgia Baptist or Southern Baptist, have had a High Attendance Sunday at your church. I never heard of a High Attendance Sunday growing up at Woodland Park. I don't think we had them. But when I started going to Tabernacle here in Cartersville in my 20s, they'd say, it's High Attendance Sunday. And at Roland Springs, where I go, we're having High Attendance Sunday, too, in the fall. And generally on this show, I don't like to criticize my own church. And especially via Matthew 18, I can't criticize my own church for something sinful. But this isn't something sinful. This is something that's just stupid. The Tabernacle does it, and a lot of other churches do it. They have High Attendance Sunday. And basically the church designates a Sunday, usually in the fall, and says, this is the Sunday. Everybody, make sure you go to the Sunday school class you're enrolled in. Invite your friends and family who need a church to go to our church. Make it a point to invite them, and let's have a High Attendance Sunday. And I hear that, and I'm like, why wouldn't I go to church this Sunday? This is High Attendance Sunday. You better not miss. Why would I miss church? I'm supposed to go to church every Sunday. Unless I'm sick or I'm out of town, I'm going to go to church on Sunday. I go every Sunday. It's the Lord's Day. I'm not going to forsake the gathering together of the brethren. Why would I make it a special point to go to church today? Or why would I make it a special point to go to Sunday school today? If I like Sunday school, I'm going to go every Sunday. It's not like, oh, well, I know I've been out, so I guess I better go. It just seems silly to me. It's like, well, you need to invite a lost person. Well, why wouldn't I invite people every Sunday? If I know somebody who's lost, I should have already shared the gospel with them. And if I know somebody who's in need of a church home because they don't have one and they're saved, well, I should have already invited them to church or said, why don't you think about my church? So High Attendance Sunday to me is just stupid. It's absolutely ridiculous. And I don't know why the churches do it. I don't know whose idea it was. And it's peculiar to me. And, you know, maybe I'll just... I don't like to complain. I try, because of who I am and how I am, to not be nitpicky about things. I don't want to call my pastor and say, Joe, whose idea was High Attendance Sunday? Well, why are we doing this? Because he'll probably have some explanation. And again, it's not just my church. It's churches within my Georgia Baptist subculture. And again, it's just, I cannot emphasize enough how stupid I think it is. And I don't understand why we're doing it. But it happens in the fall. And I think I talked about this recently, that the fiscal year of churches ends in the fall. Like, I think my church's fiscal year ends on September 30th. So I think this is either the last Sunday of our fiscal year or the first Sunday of our new fiscal year. So I think it's like, is it something to do with our denominational reporting where we want to have a high Sunday at the end of the year? It's kind of like Black Friday, where retail stores are open all year, but they start going into the black finally for the year in December or in November on Black Friday. It's the end of the year. We need to put some sales on, pump our sales numbers, and make a profit and have a good showing at the end of the year. And I think this is what high attendance Sunday is. Like, let's really push people to get here. Hopefully tithes will go up because more people are here. Offerings will go up. Giving, we'll just say giving will go up, because people who need a high attendance Sunday to be cajoled into coming to church, let's just be frank, they ain't tithers, all right? Good or bad, grace giving or non-grace giving, these people ain't tithers, all right? They are not regular givers. You got to cajole them to come to church. High attendance Sunday, you better come. So it's almost like we need to make the books look good. We need to make budget. Let's have high attendance Sunday. It feels like one of these President's Day furniture sales. I've talked about this before. Like, all right, in the springtime, we're going to have a good Easter push. And then, you see, April, March, April, May, June, July, after the summer months, you know, people go on vacation, summer vacation, attendance is low. The travel baseball people who have that idol don't come to church, so they go worship their idol, travel baseball in the summertime. And then they come back in the fall when school starts. So now attendance is starting to go back up. You know, the school year is starting. People are getting into a groove. We want to have a high attendance Sunday because we want church to be a part of their groove. So we had our Easter promotion. Now we're going to have our high attendance Sunday promotion. And then Christmas, we'll push people to come at Christmas too. We'll have a program. But I mean, you read the bulletins, and it's not just my church, it's others. It's like, now's the time. Make a special point to invite your family and friends. Why wouldn't I do that every Sunday if they need to come to church? So, why are you telling me to invite people to church today? This is like an every week thing. And you know me, guys. I am not big on church growth through inviting people to church. That's just taking Christians and moving them from one church to another, basically. Well, I'm tired of this church. I'm going to move over here to this one, move over here to this one. Church growth happens through the action of the Holy Spirit. When He regenerates somebody and they get saved, then you've grown the church Catholic, the universal church, and then someone shows up to a local church and starts being discipled. I'd love to see High Discipleship Friday. Or it's High Discipleship Sunday. We're really going to dig into the Word. Does your church have this? And you know what? I do think I will say something. Pastor, because I don't want to be the guy who's just like, I'm going to talk about it on the podcast and then not say anything to the pastor, like walk by him every Sunday, hey, how you doing? It's ridiculous. I think I will call him or send an email to him. And if you have this at your church, you should call and send an email, because I mean, are these the people? Think about this. Somebody on some committee somewhere has decided, somebody who you have put into leadership at your church thinks, this is the way to manage the church. This is how we're going to do it. We're going to have high attendance Sunday, and we're really going to get the Sunday school program going. You can't see me in my car. I wish you could see me. I look like Matt Foley in that Saturday Night Live skit where he pumps his arms. What you going to do? We're really going to get the Sunday school program going, because pastors who don't get the Sunday school program going end up living in a van down by the river. I mean, who conceived of this? I know my pastor didn't conceive of it, because it happened at another church. And I talked to my friend today. He goes, yeah, I've been in a church that does it too. Like, whose idea was this? I don't get it. And listen, I mean, Sunday school is a good thing depending on the Sunday school class. Hey, I've got an idea that's a terrible idea to make church better. Let's have a high attendance Sunday to encourage people to get in more Sunday school classes. And go to your Sunday school class, and then you can listen to some facilitator read Lifeway at you. That's great. Hey, Southern Baptist world, Sunday school's terrible because you got a bunch of LifeWay facilitators. Do you know why I don't go, Church World, to Sunday school? Because I think it's awful and I don't want to go. But at my church, philosophy is someone must be enrolled in a Sunday school class. My church created a Sunday school class and enrolled me in it. And now I get emails to come to Sunday school. I've never been, and I doubt I'll ever will go, because I don't want to go through the stupid LifeWay curriculum. Now, granted, my Sunday school class is actually, the one I don't go to, is actually taught by a theologian. The associate pastor teaches it, and he probably does a better job than the average Sunday school facilitator. So my Sunday school class is probably a bad example. But most Sunday school classes are taught by some facilitator. You guys are like, Seth, you're talking about this again, out of the LifeWay book. At my old church, I had a Sunday school teacher. His name was Matthew Gamble. Nice guy. He's a lobbyist. And he just got ordained a deacon at my old church, at Tabernacle. Good church, good guy. He gets ordained as a deacon at the same time he announces his candidacy for our state congress, Georgia state congressman. And my whole life, for the last 10 years, I should say, not my whole life, I thought, this person seems like he teaches Sunday school just to be doing a civic duty. He's a former Methodist. I remember people would ask him questions he wouldn't know the answer. Simple questions. And somebody asked him why you had to get baptized. I had a friend named Gabor who sometimes listens. Gabor is from Hungary. And he tells it like it is. And he was from a pedo-Baptist background. He'd say, I'm Reformed. I don't want to get baptized. I've already been sprinkle baptized as a baby or a young Christian. I don't need to get baptized again. Well, he came to join our Baptist church, and his wife had a Calvary Chapel background. She'd already been baptized by immersion. And this is the church they were going to join. So they're like, you can't join the church unless you get baptized. He's like, I'm already a Christian. I've been baptized. He goes, no, you have to get Baptist baptized. So he just went along with it. And I remember being at a Christmas party. I was at his house, and I'm sitting there. He's sitting there. He's talking to our Sunday school teacher. And he's like, I'm Reformed. I don't understand why we had to do this. And Matthew, who comes from the Methodist church, is like, well, you just go with it. Yeah, I know how you feel. You weren't... He's just a Baptist because he married one. A Baptist Sunday school teacher should be sitting there saying, no, you have to get baptized because it's a church ordinance. You weren't really baptized. You were sprinkled. That's not baptism. This is a Baptist church. Of course you have to get baptized. And he was just like, oh, well, whatever. And it's just like, guys, does our doctrine matter? Shouldn't we... like have Baptist Sunday school teachers who care about being a Baptist and Baptist distinctives? And again, Matthew Gamble, heck of a nice guy. You'd rather hang out with him than me. I promise you, you would. I promise you, you would. He'll probably do a good job as a state congressman. By the way, he's a Republican, so he wins. In Bartow County, they don't even run a Democrat. But it's like, it's all civic, man. Are you a Baptist deacon because you're a Baptist? Are you a Baptist Sunday school teacher because you're a Baptist? But this guy in my mind, and I like him. He lives in my neighborhood. He's my neighbor. I'm not trying to complain about him. But in my mind, Matthew is the prototypical, like, Baptist Sunday school teacher. Just devoid of doctrinal knowledge. Listen, there's another guy from the same church. And this is a good church. I was married at this church. I like this church. My kids go to preschool there. My parents go there. Nothing but good things to say. There's another guy there. He's running for city council. And he's a Sunday school teacher. And he's an ordained deacon. And I'm like, what is this church sitting around ordaining Sunday school teachers? I'm sorry, ordaining deacons and appointing Sunday school teachers. And part of it is running to be a Republican office holder. I'm like, apparently you can't run for Republican office around here unless you're a Sunday school teacher. Nathan Deal, our governor, was a Baptist Sunday school teacher. And he's moderate. But
Why do I want to go to these Sunday school classes taught by some politician or taught by the chairman of the deacons? I don't want for them to read Lifeway at me. That's stupid. I don't want to go, but it's high attendance Sunday. High attendance Sunday. You need to go to your Sunday school class. If it was worthwhile, I'd already be going. And if there's people at your church who are not inviting people to your church, so much so that you have to have a gimmicky high attendance Sunday, maybe the question you need to ask yourself is, on the other 50 Sundays, because we have high attendance Sunday where we have a gimmick, invite everybody you know to church, and we have Easter Sunday gimmick, invite everybody you know to church. On the other 50 Sundays, why aren't they inviting people to this church? Why aren't they out, quote-unquote, soul-winning, or witnessing, or whatever you want to call it in Baptist world, and then those people are showing up at church and going through this? Why do we have to have a promotion? It's like people trying to join a gym. Oh, $20 off your first 2 months. Why are churches having this? Is anybody else going through the same thing I am? I mean, I'm going to go to church Sunday, Lord willing. I mean, why wouldn't I? It's Sunday. I have no reason not to go there. I've gone every other Sunday for the past, 2 years since I've joined the church. Unless I've been sick or out of town. So why? Can anybody explain high attendance Sunday to me? And if you can't, why are you doing it? And I really want you guys to put it in your minds in a picture. And think about Baptists. Hey, y'all, we ain't baptizing people like we used to. That actually might be a good thing, because some of those might have been false converts. But our numbers are slowly declining. 80% of my church, my county, is unchurched, and it's been that way for 10 years. Maybe the answer is not for some professional pastor or deacon board to say, I got it, guys. I know how we can grow the church. We're going to have a high attendance Sunday. People will come because we tell them to. I know we're going to do the other 50 Sundays a year, but this is high attendance Sunday. When does the ridiculousness end? It's one thing to have church promotions and try to be gimmicky to get people in. It's another thing entirely to have stupid ones. I don't get it. All right. And by the way, it's not lost on me that Sunday school is not just about learning about the Bible. It's about the fellowship with the other people in your age group, and you make plans to go out to eat Mexican with them on Thursday, and you take prayer requests. That's another part of Sunday school. It's like, those people are praying for you and you're praying for them, and your kids are on the same baseball team. Like, I'm not stupid. Intellectually, that's not lost on me. I don't have a lot of interest in that, personally. When I'm in a Sunday school class, I'm there to learn. And it's hard for me to learn from Lifeway. But I don't want to go back down that road again. Ooh, look, my neighborhood is having a family movie night on September 29th. Ooh, that's right before High Attendance Sunday. Guys, thanks for listening to the Christian Commune. Exhortation for you today. If your church does something and you think it's stupid, just say, this is stupid. It's not sinful. It's not nobody's sinning to have high attendance Sunday. It's just stupid. And if your church is doing something stupid, say, hey, speaking the truth in love, this is stupid. Why are we doing it? If it's not stupid, explain to me. Maybe it's not stupid. Maybe there's something I don't know. Maybe I'm going to call my pastor and he's going to say, see, it's not stupid. But thanks for listening to the Christian Commute. I am your host, Seth Dunn. And Lord willing, I'll be back with you again tomorrow for another episode.